Jesus said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." I used this passage, some of you might remember, I used that we're there at our Sunday school in October. I used this passage of scripture. It was part of our baptismal unit. We were learning about what our baptismal covenant says about loving people and seeking and serving Christ in all persons, and how do we do that in today's world. And I was asking the people who were gathered on that day, I was asking them about this particular passage of scripture, and one of them raised their hand and said to me, "Jesus was wrong. He must be." Also, they wanted to go back and look at the Greek and try to figure out exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said you should love your enemy. Now, these are pretty familiar sayings that we've heard today. Not an eye for an eye, but turn the other cheek. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself, which is often quoted elsewhere. And leave your field for the poor and the alien. Very famous sayings. And we heard them when we were growing up. They were whispered to us by those who were wise. Turn the other cheek. Share. Don't spend it all on yourself. Think of the needs of others. We heard it as a way to escape the violence and the danger and the risk of living a human existence. Almost like a survival manual of childhood. And as we got older, we continued to hear Jesus' words from his Sermon on the Mount, but we added some nuance. Turn the other cheek, unless you are the mightiest. Or when someone has done something extremely heinous to you. Or be generous as long as you have saved carefully for a long retirement, lived in comfort, and so that you are not a burden to others. Or are any of one of them, for any one of those sayings, they were ideals that apply to exemplars in our life, the Mother Teresa's, the Dalai Lama, the priest, but not to me. We might say, "Oh, I'll definitely do that tomorrow," but not today. Jesus called us to be perfect at the end of that passage, and we know that is way too high a bar because we are human. So we say, "I'll do the best I can, and I'm okay with that. But I will be sure to pretend to be perfect and will expect perfection from others." So we are comfortable rationalizing revenge and retribution and defensive attack. It's even celebrated in our common life. We cheer those who return the attack if they are part of our group, our team, if they think like us. Because we don't want to be seen as defeated or at the mercy of another. I have a feeling that that is the interpretation of Jesus' famous words as we hear them read on a day like this. It applies to them, those other people, but I'm doing the best I can, so it doesn't apply to me, because I'm on the right side of history. The question is that what Jesus intended his words to convey? Now, Jesus was speaking to people gathered around him on that day who were not the powerful, who had few, if any, resources, and most likely lacked an adequate retirement account. These were people who scraped the bottom of the bowl for just an inkling of possibility. So we could say that it doesn't apply to us, who have much more in the way of rights and freedoms than Jesus' disciples and most of his followers. But that is our nature, writing nuance into challenging sayings. Because I'm convinced that Jesus' words do apply to us. Not in a literal way. We have spoken over the past several weeks about how Jesus uses hyperbole to express points in this very sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. But it does apply to us spiritually. What I mean by that is, it is hard to say to someone being abused verbally or physically, who's in a relationship, to turn the other cheek, because that is cruel and unusual punishment. That is not loving ourselves, which therefore demeans loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. But what all of these sayings of Jesus are pointing to is to turn the tables on the evil and to make them good. To, like Gandhi, who read these very scriptures and was inspired by them, remove yourself from the familiar cycle of injury and power accumulation. Because if you take that away, then you are feeding violence and hate with the only thing that defeats it. Love. So when this passage is read, as it was at our Sunday school service, kids will believe that Jesus is wrong. That there must have been a mistake in the translation. They want to study deep into the scriptures at that point, saying, this does not match my experience. They question loving enemies and even praying for them. And they do that because they've discerned our culture's ambivalence to these famous words. They have learned through their earliest experiences that hating and cursing our enemies is acceptable, because that is what we teach them. Not necessarily by what we say, but by what we do. I can think of many incidents over the past several months when my blood was boiling because of what was being said or being done. I've actually kind of vacated regular usage of Facebook because the words of my friends directed toward others is too vile. But it's all couched in this rhetoric of being right and therefore justified. So when I am reminded of Jesus' example of love, even to the point of losing his life, I find some glimmer of hope for a way forward in an unsteady and confusing world. When we are assaulted, we must focus on creative ways to align our values with action that will make a difference. Last week we heard Jesus redefine the law regarding divorce and adultery and murder. We heard Jesus a few weeks back name all those who were blessed. And most, if not all of us, know Jesus' life story. And all of these things were about relationships. No matter what someone did or even threatened to do, Jesus continued to love them without condition. So the question is, how do we translate that into our lives? And that is what this lesson is about. Even when someone is playing against our goodness and breaks Jesus' rules, we are called to turn the other cheek, to offer generously, to love with abandon. Nature tells us to strike back, but Jesus calls us to repurpose vengeance with compassion and with love. It might seem futile, but it is what prepares us for something greater and expands the opportunities for hope. So we are in a moment when Jesus' words can and should be applied. As we are assaulted, think about turning the other cheek, not in the way that supports the act, that replicates the act, but in a way that turns it around in love. Break the cycle by acting like we would like to be treated. And remember that without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. Amen.